Good morning. I'm Charu Chitinadas presenting Hare Krishna morning program. Studio clock, it's couple of minutes past 8 o'clock. As per Western calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 30th December, Saturday, Dasami Tithi Gaura Paksha, Shiva Yoga Ashwini Nakshatra. Let us begin our journey to Krishna consciousness and Happy New Year with our all efforts, requesting you all please utilize your time and energy to the Supreme Lord, then there is hope for absolute happiness. Otherwise, it's only Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, means wasting of time and energy, and result is great frustration and agony. Thousands of examples we have, though we do not want to change our habits and attachment. If you are not driving, please close your eyes and chant along with devotees to begin our wonderful year with Krishna.
Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Hare Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us go back to Godhead. Sri Prahlada Vacha, Srimad Bhagavatam explaining, Tat Sadhu Manya Surya Varya Dehinam Sada Samud Vigna Diham Asad Grahat Hita Vatma Patam Griham Andhakupam Vanam Gato Yadidharim Asrayati. Prahlada Maharaj explaining to his father, O best of the Asuras, king of the demons, as far as I have learned from my spiritual master, any person who has accepted a temporary body and temporary household life is certainly embraced by anxiety because of having fallen in dark well where there is no water but only suffering. One should give up this position and go to the forest. One should go to Vrindavan. More clearly, one should go to a Vrindavan where only Krishna consciousness is prevalent and should thus take shelter of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Wish you all receive the secret of Krishna consciousness and recognize what is the purpose of our human form of life. Hope I can serve you all nicely and keep you all Krishna conscious by the mercy of Sri Prabhupada and my beloved Guru Maharaj. Please listen regularly. That will help us to find a real solution of this material life. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. Today's topic is a New Year Day. The lecture is recorded in Mumbai, India. This morning we'll hear some Krishna conscious facts. Definitely we'll hear some devotional songs or prayers in between. My request, if this program helping you, and then please pass this message to your best friend who may missing the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Reminding you again, we have well recognized website, have enough material to engage ourselves. Also you can hear this radio program at our website. Our address is www.iskon.net.au.
Talk about it in America. About it in America, on New Year's Day, everybody is too drunk to do anything because the celebration is to get drunk on the last day of the year. In Japan, towards the end of the year, they have parties called Bonen Kai. That means forget the previous year. Which is a good thing. They go around everybody and, you know, forget all the bad things. And then the first week of the year, they greet each other and say, let's start over again. Everybody is making some... Every day is a new year. Like in America, the new year is the 1st of January. Then there's Chinese New Year. That's sometime in February. And India has many different New Years. Different parts of India have different days that they call the New Year. But actually, it's always another year is coming, another day is coming, another minute, whatever we want. The future is always ahead of us. So, resolution, or it's like a vrata in Sanskrit. Vrat. People make vows. So generally, I guess it would be, you know, either there's some bad habit we have, so we say, I'm going to stop smoking, or, you know, something like that. Or we're going to try to do something good. You know, psychologically, it's better to try to resolve to do something positive. Because if you say, I won't do this or that, generally you think about that thing all the time and then you do it. I won't smoke, I won't smoke, I won't smoke, 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 and then you smoke. That negative doesn't work so good. So ultimately, positive, just like in bhakti yoga practice or any religious practice, there's some restrictions. pravritti and nirvritti. So when one seriously takes the Krishna consciousness, you know, we say we won't take any intoxication, we won't gamble, we won't, and no violent eating, no meat eating, and no illicit sex. But also we vow that we'll chant the holy name of Krishna a certain amount every day. And if we do that, then one automatically has strength to avoid the negative, you know, detrimental types of activities that Krishna calls them the regulative principles of freedom. The materialist, in America anyway, people used to ask us, like, you know, what do you do for fun? No drinking, no gambling, no sex. What do you do? And they would also think, because and not anymore, but when I was young, the meal in America was mostly meat. You know, they were just getting rich, and mostly meat and a little bit of potato or, you know, salad or something. So without the meat, nothing. So if you said, don't eat meat, people would think that all they had was a scoop of potatoes and a piece of lettuce, right? A few vegetables, and they couldn't live. But Krishna says, param drishtva nivartate, one has to have a higher taste. Otherwise, we can give up sense gratification. But if we're thinking about it all the time, then it won't last. If you're thinking, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't do that, I can't, you know, I can't eat that, I can't look at this, then you're just going to want to do it more and more. But if we get a higher taste, param drishtva nivartante, then we get a higher pleasure. So that is what's chanting the holy name is. So much pleasure comes, and then one is not interested in other things, even that they're offered. It's not interesting. Everybody's experienced, I think, throughout their life. When we're children, we have some kind of toy that we just think is the all in all, it's everything. And children sometimes, especially, it must be happening now in India, they advertise something on the television and they make it look so wonderful, right? And then the child is just mad after that thing. The father has to work hard and, you know, sacrifice and buy it on a time pan or something. And the child gets it in a few minutes, he doesn't care anymore. He never wants to touch it, he wants something else. And then even if it was something like, I guess when we were young, you first get the three-wheeled cycle. But then when you get the two-wheeled one, you never want to ride the three-wheeled one anymore. It's boring. And on like that. So when one gets a taste for spiritual activities, then similarly, he's not interested in any of the materialistic activities which previously we thought were absolutely necessary for living, or everyone else is thinking is necessary. Even there's pressure. I was riding a train a few weeks ago to Vrindavan. So the gentleman next to me is very nice, and he was telling me he doesn't eat meat, he doesn't even eat onions or garlic, and he doesn't drink. But he said it's very difficult because all his family tells him, why do you want to be weird? You should join in the fun, you know. You know, don't be different. Come on. But he's holding on for some reason. But that pressure, you know, can cause people a social pressure. So therefore we like to come to the temple where our friends are telling us, chant, come on and chant, read Bhagavad Gita, take prasadam, because we need society, we need friendship. So these vows, one should think about, you know, what we can do step by step. You know, if we try to take some vow out, and it's too austere or something, and we won't be able to do it, then we'll feel guilty all the time. Like people do these diets to lose weight, and then every time they eat something, they feel bad, and then they go crazy. But if we have this higher taste, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That gives so much pleasure, actually. No one, Rupa Goswami said, No jane janita ki advir amritai, Krishneti varna doyi. He made a very nice verse about chanting. That when you first chant, we have one tongue, but we think that actually I should have thousands of tongues because I can't chant enough with just one tongue. I want to chant much more. Then the ear, karnat krodha vijayate. When the sound enters into the ear, then we'll think, oh, I should have more ears and I could hear better, I could hear more. These two ears are not good enough. And then he says that through the ear, the sound enters the heart. And when it enters the heart, the mind becomes stunned. And then when the senses become inert, the material senses are no longer giving us any trouble. When we start to think of Krishna, then no jane janita ki advir amritai. No one can know how much nectar is in this Krishneti. Two syllables, Krishna. So that we just want to chant more and more. It's an automatic thing. Psychologically, anything, if you do it, you want to do it more usually. But material things, they have a beginning and an end. He gave that verse that Krishna says. So the wise man is not interested in these pleasures that have a beginning and an end. He wants something that's eternal. That's our natural condition. So what we recommend, what the scriptures recommend, we're following Krishna and the great acharyas, is one should try to chant the holy name of the Lord daily, some amount. It doesn't have to be, you know, like, well, we have our famous Haridas Thakur. He was chanting 300,000 names of God every day, mala. So that's 192 mala around. About 18 hours, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So if we think, okay, I'm going to do that, okay, then we won't be able to do that, and then we'll just get bewildered. But we can say, I will chant one round, or I will chant for 5 minutes every day, or I will do something. And that will give us a strong taste. Krishna has many tricks. I just looked here in this our Back to Godhead magazine. You all seen that, right? How many have seen this? So one girl was saying she had seen the devotees chanting, but she was atheistic. She didn't really think much of it. Then she was teaching in a school, and one Indian student came, and his name was Krishna. So that's how she first started chanting, because she had to say Krishna. In the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he lived in Bengal, there were a lot of Muslims. So they were complaining to the Qazi, the local magistrate or whatever, that these Hindus, they're always chanting these, they called it the atheistic, you know, the names of God, the Hindu names of God, they don't like. They think only Allah, of course, and even Allah, they have many names, but they think, you know, people are prejudiced. Like maybe many Hindus think also Allah is not a name of God, only Rama or only Ganesh or something. Oh, this is not very spiritual vision. But they were complaining that, you know, these Hindus, and he said, and the worst thing is that these Hindus, their name is Krishna. Their name is Rama. Their name is Hari. And we have to work with them. So we have to call them by their name. And then we can't, now we're chanting and we can't stop and we don't want to chant these Hindu names. You have to stop these people. So these things are going on. This is Krishna's mercy. So India is called Punya Bhumi, the pious land, the land of piety. And one great advantage is there's names of Krishna everywhere. And I've noticed it seems to be coming back a little bit. For a while I saw more and more companies had English names. And even in Calcutta they changed all the street names. They used to be names of Krishna. They changed them to like Stalin Road and Lenin Drive and things like that, right? And I think maybe they'll go back in due course of time. In Juhu, at our temple there, and just down the road to the beach, about 100 meters down, somebody made a big compound, a complex. There's a health spa called Krishna. It's called the Body Temple for women only. And then it has the Krishna fashion store and the Krishna diamond store and the big signs, Krishna, Krishna everywhere. Because the temple's very popular, so they want to take advantage. But that's Krishna. He makes many, many arrangements for people to chant his name. He's asking, like, in many, many countries, we find the name of Rama, especially. Many towns are named Rama. In Macedonia, there's a river named Radha. And about half the women in that whole area are named Radha. So people get, this is how Krishna is very clever like that. In Israel, there's so many towns named Rama. There's Ram Allah, that's where Mr. Arafat lives. Ram Allah. Ram is Allah, or Allah is Ram. So in the news, all over the world, Ram Allah, Rama, Ram Allah, Ram Allah, people are chanting. There's another village, we just went there for the Boy Scouts, and it's called just Rama. And there's Ramagat and Rama, I can't remember, there's so many. When you drive around, you see only Rama. In the northern Europe, eastern Europe, there's also, one time devotees were sending in all the different names. It's just Krishna's mercy that he introduces his name. In English, in America especially, it comes from Greek, I think. Like they have that word panorama. It means a very wide view, panorama. That's a Greek word. So this O Rama became something that they use for many things. So if they're selling, they have a sale O Rama. I saw one time the hairdresser, they had a hair-o-rama. And I used to watch one show on Sunday morning when I was young, you know, bowling. You have that here? Throw the ball. You know. Bolo-rama. Every Sunday, Bolo-rama came on. And that was where I first chanted, I guess, you know, as far as I can remember. And even now in Tokyo, there's a fashion shop, some stupid, but it's called Bolorama. I don't know how they, you know, with B-O-W-L, Bolorama. But they come up with these names. So the name of Rama it indicates something big and wonderful, and, you know, people are chanting. This way Krishna's preparing. So when we, and this way people everywhere get a little bit prepared. In Thailand, and actually all over Southeastern Asia, the Ramayana is very famous. So all those countries, Malaysia, Thailand, Burma, Indonesia, Cambodia, they all have their own version of the Ramayana. A little bit different, but basically this. They all have Rama anyway. And Sita, you know, not exactly the same, but their own version. It's a major part of their art, major part of their drama performances. So people are aware. In Thailand, the king is considered to be like a representative of Ram. So the current king is Rama 10 or something. They have Rama, you know, different previous kings is Rama this, Rama that. And all the main roads is called Rama, Rama 3 road, Rama 7 road, Rama. So they're getting, you know, benedicted. Even though they're, you know, they have an atheistic culture now, or Buddhists. So when we travel, we notice these things, and it's interesting. And anywhere in the world, this everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is actually part and parcel of Krishna. And one thing we know now that Prabhupada, our spiritual master, told us, that Lord Chaitanya has sent different devotees to take birth in many different countries. But then we have to go and find them, you know, and we tell them, you know, you're actually a devotee of Krishna. They've forgotten because their culture doesn't exactly teach them that. But there's some amazing stories all over the world, especially where rebellious. And if someone tells us you can't have something, then we want that, right? I've heard that in India now, so many young people, they want to eat beef, for instance, because they were told, you know, you can't eat that, you're a Hindu. Nobody told them why, so they're thinking, I'm going to do it. You can't. I know my mother always told me, don't smoke. So, of course, I want to smoke. She smoked, my father smoked, everybody smoked. Well, you tell me don't smoke. You know, you want to do it more. So the communism told everybody you can't have religion. So they all wanted it. And when by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya's movement, when the communist government collapsed and the people madly taking to religion in all the communist countries, that's where we get the most amazing stories. One of our Russian devotees, he's a prominent leader in the Ural region of Russia, I think. He was reading one book by the communist government, and they had many things like that. They're saying how religion is really stupid. And he said the Hare Krishna is especially stupid, because they just sing the same prayer all the time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that they're really stupid. You know, they're all stupid because they believe in there's something beyond this life and, you know, all the things that they think are stupid. So he thought if these people just repeat the same prayer all the time, it must be really good. Otherwise, why would they do it? So he started thinking, I want to meet devotees. Somehow he met devotees. And the first devotee he met said, you chant 16 rounds? He didn't know what that was even. And he said, no. He said, well, you should chant 16 rounds. So he started chanting. There was another one. And now he's a leader of our book distribution in all of Russia. He was a major in the army. And he was studying yoga. And he heard that two of the privates in the camp there, they were Hare Krishnas. So he called them. So the devotees were thinking, you know, what happened? And the officer never calls you unless you did something wrong, you know. So he asked him, you know, tell me about Hare Krishna. So they told him, and then they offered him a Bhagavad Gita. And then they asked him for a donation. So he was impressed that, you know, they would ask the major for a donation. So he took it, but he didn't read it. And every time he saw them, they would say, did you read that book? And he would be embarrassed. He'd say, no, I didn't read it. So he decided, finally, I better read it. So he read only the slokas. He didn't read the purport. So then when he saw them again, yeah, I read it. Then he had a dream. And in that dream, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, came to him. And he spoke in Russian language. And he said, you know, you could, if you read the purports also, that would be very good. So he was really impressed, and he read the purports. And when he got out of the army, I don't know if he finished his tour or he quit, now he's the Sankirtan leader of the whole of Russia. And every Ekadasi, he chants like Haridas Thakur. He gets up, he goes to sleep at 6 o'clock, he gets up at midnight, and he chants until he finishes 190 rounds. Like the train I told you the man was telling me. When I first got on the train, his young boy was a very, very intelligent boy, and he was asking so many questions. So right away he said, what's that, what's that, what's that on his face? And so they were explaining about Tilak. And then he was lamenting that these people are taking up our own culture, but we're rejecting it. And he started to explain his opinion as to why the Indian people were not taking up. Then his friend started to argue with him. But he also agreed that it was unfortunate that the Indians were not taking, but he had a different reason. So they had their, you know, how Indian people like to argue. So they argued. Ultimately, he took a Bhagavad Gita. He was saying that there's no good teachers. You try to read Bhagavad Gita, but they've written in such a way it's very, very difficult. There's one of the big, very famous Bhagavad Gita speakers here in India. And I think he actually openly says that no one can understand what he says. That he's made a feast no one can digest. Right? Everybody knows who that is. And they use big words and it's all bewildering. And they cover over the simple meaning of Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru, Krishna says. Think of me, worship me, become my devotee, and kirtan, you know, chant the holy name, satyatam kirtayanto mam. The devotees are always chanting my name. Easy, kirtan.
Hare Krishna. You are listening to Hare Krishna morning program. Every Saturday morning, 8 till 9 a.m., I present this program on behalf of Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Tank Street, Albert Park, contact 9699-5122. To begin New Year on coming Monday, let us purify our house, our mind, our existence by the prayer written by Lord Brahma.
Jani Nandam Aravinda the light of Sam Bharavatam Samakitam Buddha Sundaram Kandarva Kotika Maniya Vishesha Soba Govinda Mani Purusha Mambaja
way to start your day, 88.9 Win FM.
Friends, Happy New Year. As the world enters a new year day, nearly, we wish all of you, our esteemed listeners, a very happy new year. As it is a spiritual program, let us discuss how we can go farther than just wishing, what we can do to make this wish transform into a reality. Let us first analyze this greeting, Happy New Year, from the perspective of science.
Let us become a scientist for a while. Let us analyze this happy new year little in reality. Time, what is it? Let's begin with the word year. A year is a unit for measuring time. And what is time? Though the reality of time, especially in the form of its effect on us, is undeniable. Time is one among the many fundamental truths of life that defy scientific definition. Be that as it may, we measure time by the movement of the cosmic bodies. As per current scientific understanding, 1 year is the time in which the Earth completes one revolution around the Sun. For an object orbiting continuously in a circular path, no point on the orbit can be considered special. So scientifically, there is nothing new about the new year. The Earth is going to continue in its same old path. Let us find out what is the new. All of us have an inherent attraction for something new. Have you ever thought why is it not? Because the old is in some way or the other unsatisfactory. The old lifestyle, the old relationship, the old job, all this leave us feeling incomplete and unfulfilled. And the fond of is that the new will change the same old story. But reality, what's going to be actually new our life, new in our life. People change their external to make things better. But from a scientific viewpoint, everything is just atoms. And all that causes the astounding variety seen with our eyes is a sub-microscopic variation in the atomic and molecular structures, such as the different number of electrons orbiting within the atom of a particular element. Now, what is the most dramatically new things that a person can do? Most likely, get a new dog. But that just means getting someone whose skin pigments have a slightly different atomic arrangement. So changing the atomic arrangement around you, like new house, new car, new job, or the mundane New Year resolution, and hoping that will make New Year happy, is not a very realistic hope, isn't it? And what about happy? Happiness is another fundamental reality in life that is beyond the realm of science. For the scientist, pleasure or pain is nothing more than certain C fibers or delta fibers firing in certain parts of the body. That's all. In science, you know very well that the sweet greeting, Happy New Year, is often expressed with genuine good wishes. Do you think it has no meaning? The current scientific understanding certainly stripes this greeting, and in fact all greetings and even life at large, of all meanings. Anyway, can everything in life be scientific? Would a chemist give his wife a Bunsen burner as a wedding gift? If a neurologist found that his wife was upset with him, would he do a brain scan to find out what was wrong with his wife? The point is simple. Neither is life just a bunch of atoms and molecules, nor is sentiment human being just an ultra supercomputer. Let us now ascend to a realm higher than that portrayed by science. Let us go to the Vedic eye. The Vedic wisdom explains that each one of us is a conscious, eternal and blissful spiritual personality, having inherently the nature of befriending and loving God and all living beings. The Vedic scriptures also wish us a genuinely felt Happy New Year. In fact, they wish that every moment of our life be happy and new. Not only that, they go much farther and delineate a practical process by which this wish can be transformed into reality. Let's investigate. The Vedic scriptures explain that all living beings eat, mate, sleep and defend. In fact, the subhuman beings do nothing but these four activities. And modern man is also doing just these four activities, although in a sophisticated way. Even the entire scientific advancement is impelled by these four fundamental drives. The first thing the man did after unraveling the mysteries of the atom is to use the atomic bomb, defending in the most horrendous form seen in the contemporary times. The result of the advent of the information age is the internet, which is mostly an international network of gossip about pornography. That's mating in its grossest form. The leaps in genetic engineering have mostly been actuated by the desire for better meat and other foodstuffs. Is that anything higher than eating? Dunlop beds, or nowadays there is many other beds and whatnot, they are all obviously for sleeping. So a little thought will reveal how all the advanced activities done by the modern man eventually boil down to eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and there's nothing new in them. No matter how we do them externally, the Bhagavatam describes, this is graphic terms, puna puna charvita charvanam, chewing the chewed again and again. The human being, however, is meant not to live the same old life of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. He is meant to something that is radically new and that brings us to the realm of spirituality. A hog cannot understand the difference between its body and the soul. A human being can. A dog cannot worship God or practice mantra meditation. A human being can. And spirituality is not just a different ability that a human has. It has brightness due to his possessing a higher intelligence that accompanies the human body. Therefore, the Vedic scriptures encourage us to sublimate our attraction for the new by directing it to the realm of spirit. Athato Brahma Jigyasa. The first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra is a clarion call to all its readers. Therefore, inquire about the higher dimensions of life. Now we are endowed with a higher intelligence in the human form. Therefore, inquire about the higher truths of life. What is the real Happy New Year? The answer is to constitute a practical way of life which bestows upon the seeker unlimited happiness from the spiritual stratum. And this is, in fact, the Vedic mission, Sarva Jana Sukhino Bhavantu. Let everyone be happy, not superficially and temporarily, by success in the rat race for sense gratification, but deeply and eternally and absorption in loving service to the Lord, the Supreme Almighty God. The spiritual life culminates in the development of love of God. Love of God, the Universal Father, precipitates love for all living beings as one's own brothers. This selfless love completely satisfies the self and also makes the lover of God the topmost welfare worker for all living beings. Love of God is our original and real nature, but due to prolonged and excessive contact with matter, it has become completely obscured and is now misdirected towards various material objects. All genuine spiritual practices are meant to revive this love of God which is presently dormant in our hearts. And God being an infinite is eternally a nitya nava nava agyamana. So loving Him is an eternally new and happy experience. Thus revival of our love of God is the ultimate realization of the bliss. We wish you all realize the reality of original happiness. And Happy New Year. This is a message from Hare Krishna people all over the world. Looking at the studio clock, we got some time. Let us bring the Lord in our heart, in our home, in our new year.
Sure. पशुपक्षी जनमिए के मानुष पशुपक्षी जनमिए अथवा कीट पतंग कर्म विपाके गतागति केवल मति रहु पर संग बनाए विद्यापति अतिशय कातर तरितयः भवतिं
Looking at the studio clock, it's 9 o'clock. Next show on this station would be very well known Saturday morning show called Fast, Lean and Invincible. Hope you all had enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. I'm Charu Chaitanya Das from Hare Krishna Temple. Please accept our humble request and invitation. Every day we are open, but specially inviting you for Saturday and Sunday's Melbourne famous Hare Krishna free feast, which is full of absolute transcendental activities. 4:30 Kirtan, 5 o'clock Bhagavad Gita discourses, simultaneously children's activities on other buildings, 6 o'clock Prasadam, 7 o'clock Sandhya Arati. Every Sunday, after 7:30, after the Arati, there is story time. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Don't hesitate to call me for any other queries regarding today's program or by any means if we can assist you to progress towards Krishna consciousness. My contact number is 0412-696-559. Wishing you and your families very good weekend and happy new year. May Lord Krishna bless us all, gives us appropriate guidance to find tranquility and bliss in our life. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.